A reading from Acts, chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. Paul ashore on Malta. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us an unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead, but after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and, after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 31. Then Jesus went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching, because his words had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are! With authority and power he gives orders to impure spirits, and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one of them, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Messiah. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is the gospel of the Lord.
A word of prayer. Dear Lord, come now by your Spirit, and Lord, may the words that I speak, Lord, which are not of you, will they fall to the ground like autumn leaves. But Father, the words which are of you, Lord, would it touch our hearts and minds and bring meaning and life. Amen. Many years ago, because I was a church warden, we were sitting at the back of the church, our previous church, when one of our friends dashed out of the service, dashed out of the church, and I followed her. I asked her what was wrong. "I've got a migraine," was the reply. "Would you like me to pray for you?" I said. They're not politically correct, but it's not what we do now, but I asked to pray for her. And she said yes, and I remember saying the words, "Be healed in Jesus' name." And I don't know who was more surprised, because the migraine went, and she came back into church and enjoyed the rest of the service. The Lord had healed her. Ever since faith became more meaningful to me, I have been deeply moved when hearing of God healing people. I've seen people healed and long to see it happen more. And healing is part of the gospel. However, I come before you this morning in fear and trembling, because the last thing I want to do is sell you a healing ministry. I want you to find it for yourself. I simply want to look at the gospel reading and find what we see in it. And that should surely lead us to consider the Lord healing people today. So as part of that, and you may recall Morris spoke last week of putting yourself into a reading, I want you to transport yourself a couple of thousand miles and place yourself in Capernaum. Get there physically. And think about yourself being there 2,000 years ago. It is the end of the day. The Sabbath is over. The sun is setting. And the shadows from the hills behind the village begin to lengthen. And the temperatures begin to drop. And the mist rises from the nearby lake. The Sabbath has ended. And in the shadows, people begin to move, because they're now free to move. They're not tied by the law of working on the Sabbath. So they come in twos or threes, and they carry sick people. They are heading for the one house, the house where the teacher is staying. That morning they were amazed. They had never seen anything like the authority of the man who silenced the demon in the synagogue. And think of that man. Imagine the agony on the man's face, controlled by something evil. And Jesus brings peace because he sets him free. Rumors also buzz around because he healed Simon's mother-in-law. The question on everyone's lips is, can he also help my sick mother, my sick father, my sick child, my brother, my sister, my friend, my husband, my wife? Can he help me? And it's quite dark by now, because the sun sets quickly in the Middle East, but quietly, without fuss, Jesus moves among them. He reaches out and touches each one, laying hands on them, and they're healed. Imagine the rejoicing. Imagine the amazement. How would you feel if you were there? Would you have gone to him? Where necessary, he commands demons to leave those afflicted by them. No fuss, no drama, the quiet authority of the King of Kings. Did he stay up all night ministering to people? It's hard to tell, but we know at the beginning of the day, he went to a quiet place to pray. Joyce and I had the opportunity to visit Capernaum a few years ago, and we saw the alleged house. I mean, the tourist guides are very good at showing you different things in Israel where Jesus went. And we saw the synagogue, where everything took place. But in actual fact, yes, it did take place there, because it was Capernaum, and the leak is there, although it's a lot further away now, because they drained so much water out of it. But it was the place. And going there adds a lot of colour. But what do we see in the passage? We see the authority of demons, authority of Jesus, as demons are silenced, and as a demonically enforced sickness expelled from Peter's mother-in-law. Luke, with his doctor's eye for detail, tells us it is a high fever. Do you notice that? Other writers just say a fever. And we see the tireless compassion of Jesus as he spends time ministering to each one. We see a demonstration of the power of the kingdom of God as earth meets heaven and people are set free from their illnesses. Jesus still meets people today in the same way he did at Capernaum. And we see in the reading how he deals with sickness, disease, and evil spirits. We see his authority. The beginning of the ministry of Jesus in Luke, you see that he acts and speaks and teaches with authority. People are impressed by his teaching and authority until, of course, he challenged them, which they didn't like. Capernaum, to use a military metaphor, is like a beachhead. Jesus invaded because he was establishing the kingdom of God, Mark 1:14 and 15. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. He does that by proclamation and demonstration. He preaches the good news and heals people, setting them free. He also gives authority to his followers to do the same thing. Luke 9, he gives power and authority to the 12 to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. In Luke 10, he sends out the 72. In Mark 6, you have the gospel encapsulated in two verses. They went out and preached that the people should repent. They drove out many demons, anointed with oil many people who were ill, and healed them. If you wish, you can be anointed with oil this morning. John 14:12, he promises anyone whose faith in him will do what he is doing. Do you get that? Anyone who has faith in Jesus will do what he is doing, has been doing. At the end of Matthew chapter 28, verse 12, the verse we know so well, Jesus affirms his power and authority and commissions his followers to do what he has been doing. We are inheritors of that commission. So we have the authority of Jesus. Think about the character of Jesus. We see his love. Jesus is a people person. You meet those who have no problem mixing with others. They can spend time with each person they meet, no matter how difficult they can be. Leon Morris writes that the Gospel of Luke emphasizes the love of Christ. We also see his compassion, which goes hand in hand with his love. We see his patience, being prepared to deal with all who are there. Jesus laid hands on each one. Think about it. He had the power to simply say to them all, "Be healed." But he chose to deal with each one as they needed, probably deep into the night. Have you ever watched God TV or something like that? Or something on the Christian channels, where people press in to see the leader, to speak to the leader, the famous speaker. They all want his touch, and the activity can seem quite frenetic, disconnected from what we see in Scripture. Yes, there are crowds around Jesus, but he had time for each one as he has time for each one of us. At Capernaum 2,000 years ago, Jesus healed each one, laid hands on each one, and we see the compassion in the ministry of Jesus. We've also considered the authority of Jesus, and now the power of Jesus. The power of Jesus to heal the sick was apparent. Power is different from authority. Power is like the electricity that runs through the wires. The wires are the authority. You see that this, you understand the illustration? Power changes water into wine. Power turns 5 loaves and fishes into enough food for 3,000. And we're told in Luke 5:17, the power of the Lord was there to heal the sick. And we get a sense in that last passage that the power Jesus had was from the Holy Spirit. You'll remember that when Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in the form of a dove. Jesus went from there full of the Holy Spirit, ready to face temptation in the desert. So, authority, love, power, how does this apply to us today? I am a Christian because I believe the gospel of Christ is true. I believe it is historically true, and I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose again from the dead. I believe he sends the Holy Spirit that we may live the life that Jesus has called us to live. We are commissioned to spread the good news. We're also called to heal the sick. We have a glimpse of God healing people through his followers in the reading from Acts. Paul healed all those on that island, on Malta. And it's happened through the centuries. And it happens in the church today. And we simply don't have time to examine the detail. Or do you like to be here till after lunch? Because there's so much. However, before we go further, there is an elephant that has crept into the room. Do you see its presence? Can you feel its presence? Not everyone is healed. We know that, don't we? We don't know why people aren't healed. But we need to recognize that we are frail human beings. Even the Apostle Paul had to write in 2 Timothy 4:20, Trophimus, I left ill in Miletus. Paul wasn't able to heal him. John McNutt and John Wimber were both authorities on the subject. And it's not because God is indifferent to our needs. They're both authorities on the subject and faced it head on in their writings. It is not because God is indifferent to our needs, and it is not because of unconfessed sin or inadequate faith. To argue that is cruel to those who've got long-term illness or have seen loved ones die. But Canon Michael Green made some good points which I think stand up well. We are not the Lord. Jesus is divine. We are not. We are his flawed servants. The continuity between his ministry and ours is afforded by the Holy Spirit. We have an enemy, so the Bible teaches us, who seeks to bring illness. Remember the crippled woman in Luke 13:11. A woman had been there, crippled by a spirit for 18 years. Salvation and healing are always imperfect in this life. It is not the will of God that we should experience disease and suffering, just as it is not his will that we should sin. However, in this mortal life, he allows both, though desires neither. Francis McNutt writes, healing is mysterious. The best we can do is bow before the mystery that is God. When God chooses to reveal his mind, then we can act with assurance. At other times, when we are in doubt about a particular situation, the most honest thing to do is to admit our doubt and bow before the mystery that is healing. Like most of us, I have friends and family who have died before their time. And it hurts, doesn't it? It hurts when the loved ones people you love have died. So should I stop praying for folk? Not at all. Never. We have seen people restored. We have seen conditions improved. And yes, there are those where there is no apparent change. We see prayers answered. And we should recall those who have been lifted to the Lord through the wonderful prayer chain we have here. There are those who have recovered from operations more quickly and from serious illness. And yes, there are those who have gone to be with the Lord. But, you know, sometimes there's comfort in Scripture. Isaiah 57, verse 1. The righteous perish, and no one takes it in his heart. The devout are taken away, and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. Those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in death. There's comfort there. There's comfort there. And ultimately, healing is in death. We need to recognize that. We need to recognize that ultimately we will go to be with the Lord. Someone may reach out and touch us and bring healing. But in the end, we will be with him. Let's go to the old story about a grumpy old man and a boy walking along a beach. Every so often, the boy picks up a starfish and throws it into the sea. Old Grumpy says, "Why are you doing that? You're not going to make a difference." The boy picks up another starfish and throws it into the sea. And he picks up another starfish and he throws it into the sea. And he says to the grumpy old grandfather — grandfathers can be grumpy, can't they? — "It's made a difference for them." Suppose one of you was ill and another person prayed for you and you're healed. It makes a difference for you, doesn't it? Doesn't it? John Wimber was the founder of the Vineyard Church, and he told a story in his book describing how his church had started praying for healing. And they spent 6 months and no one was healed. Wouldn't you find that discouraging? Wouldn't you have given up before then? I may have. But anyway, he's called out by a member of the congregation. I don't know whether they call them congregants in the Vineyard Church, but he's called out by a church member because the man's wife was ill. And he had to go to work that morning, so she needed to be better. So John Wimber turned and prayed for the woman. And then he turned round and repeated the speech he'd rehearsed so well. He'd done it so many times, why God sometimes didn't heal people. Because he didn't think she'd be healed. But as he turned round, he saw this broad grin on the man's face as his wife got out of bed and offered to prepare breakfast. It was a breakthrough. It was a dam breaking. And it changed things there. That church has had an impact on many, many churches in the world because of the healing ministry of John Wimber that started through just pressing in, praying, keeping going, not giving up. Not giving up when you're disappointed. Not giving up when you thought life was over. Just praying. It even had an impact on Holy Trinity Brompton. It's one reason why Holy Trinity Brompton is like what it is. You should read what Nicky Gumbel says about the time Wimber visited there. He desperately prayed for people. And I could tell tales of how I've seen God heal people, with the most unlikely folk praying for them. "Please heal my friend" is not a difficult prayer, is it? We can all do it. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And is still in the business of healing people. You can choose to go to him or not. It's your choice. Kate lent me a book by Simon Ponsonby called Amazed by Jesus, which I'm really enjoying. And in it, he writes of how Jesus wants to walk with us. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Jesus wanting to walk with us. And we'll take a very short walk shortly as we come from our seats to receive the bread and the wine. And may I suggest that you ask Jesus to walk with you as you do that. And to be with you there. Because that little short walk to receive the bread and wine is something we do in memory of him, in memory of what he did for us. He's not far away. He's here, he's with you. And then there's the opportunity to go there and someone will anoint you with oil, as the apostles did 2,000 years ago, as people have done throughout the ages. And that oil can bring the presence of God into your life and bring healing. You don't need a long prayer. It's just a simple anointing. However, there are some people just watching on television. They're live streaming. And they can't join us physically. But I'm going to close by praying for them. And then I'll hand over to Kate. Father God, just thank you that you're here, Lord, no matter whether we're in the building or whether we're watching at home. And there are those, Lord, who are unwell, they're sad, they've lost someone. There are people sitting at home watching us. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would touch each person, that you bring your peace and your healing. And Lord, for that person concerned about going to see a doctor tomorrow, Lord, would you just be close to them, Lord, guide them, help them, and encourage them. Just to know, Lord, that you are there. In your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.